welcome your ears to episode number 279 of the Triple Option with RBKD. On the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. Live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on Twitch, and at hornfm.com. On today's show, the truth hurts, and Quinn Ewers cut Texas fans deep this weekend. All hell is about to break loose on the recruiting trail. NBA fans can't stop making headlines in the re-return of Hypothetical Tuesday. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona Kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing good, brother. I appreciate the intro. Good to have you back. Good to have you back, brother.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, man. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows where your IT guy's IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
I'm doing great. Good weekend. Good long weekend. Got some good old man naps in. Just kind of out of the blue. You know? One of those where you get enough sleep, you're not that tired, but you lay down and you get a good hour and a half nap in.
Is that the difference between an old man nap and a young man nap?
Yeah, young man nap, you really don't want to sleep. You're forced to do it. Old man nap is, I'm just going to lay down and see.
You got nothing better to do?
Nothing better to do, right.
I love it.
It's raining outside, why not?
That's what long weekends are for. Love to hear it. I'll be here as well. I am BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Tuesday afternoon with us. Hope everyone had a great long weekend. Want to give some love to the troops. And, of course, a shout-out to all of those who paid the ultimate price, who made the ultimate sacrifice fighting for our country. Yesterday was Memorial Day. I feel weird saying Happy Memorial Day because it seems like a somber day.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers to those who paid the ultimate price and the family members of those who lost their lives defending our great nation. We are the land of the free because of the brave. And I know yesterday is meant for our fallen heroes, but never a bad time to give thanks to our current and former military, the veterans out there, and those who continue to serve our great country. So shout out to y'all. I hope everyone had a great extended holiday weekend. Gentlemen, a ton of sports to get to on today's program. We'll start with something that took place yesterday. The NCAA baseball tournament selection show came and went this weekend. And to the surprise of some, the Texas Longhorns earned the number 2 national seed in the 2021 NCAA tournament. The number 2 national seed is the highest for the Longhorns since 2010. Texas will host the Austin Regional this coming weekend. The three other teams taking their talents to the dish: Arizona State, Fairfield, and Southern. The last time Texas hosted a regional in the NCAA tournament, 2018, the Longhorns went all the way to the College World Series that year. KD, you are our resident Texas baseball expert on the program. Your thoughts on the Longhorns landing the number 2 seed and early reaction to the draw that Texas got in the Austin region?
Surprised they got the number 2 seed. I thought they'd be anywhere from a 3 to a 5, most likely a 3 or a 4 seed. That was kind of where I was looking at. And so I was happy to see that. I think the regional is a good draw. I mean, Arizona State's 5th in the Pac-12. They've had some injury problems. It is obviously a storied program. We're talking about maybe 1-2 all time in college baseball history.
That's awesome.
We're talking like Notre Dame or Alabama-Notre Dame type matchup in terms of historically. But this year, they've got some issues. They're hitting .287 as a club. They've had some serious pitching issues as well. They got a 5.12 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got some injury problems. I like the draw. Fairfield, obviously, was an RPI darling. They didn't play anyone. Southern got hot in the conference tournament.
SWAC.
Yeah, SWAC, which is why they're in. So I love the regional draw. The regional draw feels like a 2-seed draw. The super regional draw doesn't feel as much so. And what have I been saying for about 2 or 3 weeks now?
Florida.
Who did I want to avoid in the supers?
Florida.
Mm-hmm. They were preseason number 1 for a reason. Kevin O'Sullivan has that program rolling, especially for a state program. I mean, look what Van Horn and O'Sullivan are doing at state schools where you don't get that Vanderbilt, I've got 25 scholarships because of different scholarships that are set up, mm-hmm. private scholarships. He's done an amazing job. They've got a lot of velo coming out of the bullpen. Their pitching has been down. But to me, I feel like Tennessee, really the 3 and 4 seeds got better super regional draws. So this could be a lot of fun. Miami could definitely upset Florida in that super. And maybe Miami's coming. And maybe we're talking about the 1 in 3 programs all time. Because Miami is a top 5 program all time. But Florida's the one I'm really looking at. All in all, look, you got to beat some good teams to get there, and I like the regional draw.
Yeah, and you get to do it at home.
Until
you get to Omaha.
Until
you get to Omaha.
But how good have they been at home? They've been fantastic.
Damn good at home, yeah. I agree with you on that, too. It's one of those things where they don't – how much does experience play as a factor – usually in your experience, right, in watching postseason college baseball? Is it a big thing? Does Texas have enough of it?
A ton. They do. They don't necessarily have winning experience going back to that 18 team.
Because they only got with two guys from the 2018
guys, exactly.
Run.
And yeah. So Cam Williams would have been at DBU. They've got some guys, Mike Antico
transferred
went down
over to
Clemson, hit a couple home runs mm-hmm. in a regional. But they don't have a ton. What they do and what they've shown all year with their resiliency is they have a lot of wisdom and experience. And I think that I'll take over necessarily a bunch of redshirt sophomores that have been in a program that's been to Omaha 5 years in a row.
That's a good point.
The Horns will open up regional play against Southern this Friday at 1 o'clock. Of course, you can hear that game right here on the Horn. You can hear every Texas postseason game right here on the Horn. Southern, not a great baseball team. They did get the automatic bid for winning the SWAC tournament, as Rod B. mentioned. But the Jags, 20-28 on the year. They played 3 games against Power 5 teams this year, guys. 1 against Mississippi State, 2 against LSU. They lost all 3. They lost by a combined score of 41-4. So crazier things have happened, but it should be a nice opener for Texas. And then they will get the winner of Arizona State and Fairfield on Saturday. So I agree with you, Katie. I think it's a very, very winnable region for Texas. But the question is, if they do advance to the Super Regional, they've got to play a really, really talented team, either Florida or Miami, right?
Yeah.
Both of those teams historically very good this time of year. Florida has a bunch of talent. They're battle-tested playing in the SEC. That would be a tall task for the Longhorns, but I love their regional draw, a chance to get back to the Super. And yeah, they've been dominant at home all year. They get 100% capacity at the Dish, a chance for Texas to make some noise.
Yeah, and you know, they got bounced in the Big 12 tournament, but Rob, we talked about this a little bit last week. I wanted to get those 2 wins, at least go 500, yep. And that will cement, they were already going to be a top 8 seed, but that probably cemented them being the number 2 overall seed and definitely being a top 3 or top 4 national seed. And you get out of there. I mean, TCU played great, and they'll take the conference tournament mm-hmm. championship. You always have that. But be able to kind of regroup, get your arms all set up. And I'll get into it a little bit in One and Done, but I'll be curious kind of how they play all this stuff with pitching moving
yeah.
forward. Because you're playing a Southern team that's going to have a guy with a 5-something ERA.
That's a great point.
You just gave the numbers, BK.
Is it necessary to throw your ace out there?
I'm going to Vegas. I'm rolling the dice.
You really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it necessary for me to drink my own urine?
No, it's not at all.
No, but it's sterile, and I like the taste of it. So
yeah, okay.
I do it anyways.
That's a movie line.
Sure,
for those
you didn't
who get
COVID? Are you like Herb Street? Your taste buds aren't back yet.
No comment on that one. I love the regional draw. How about Fairfield, guys? I mean, their record. You look at them on paper. They're 37-3, and that might concern some folks. They're number 3 in RPI in all of college baseball, but they played nobody this year.
No.
34 of their 40 regular season games were against conference competition. They play in the MAAC, M-A-A-C, Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. So all the teams in there have liberal political views. They care about fashion a lot.
Metrosexuals,
I think that's what it means. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they're the Metro Atlantic Athletic Competition.
Not quite.
Fairfield, though, guys, one of the more underrated nicknames in college sports. Do y'all have any idea what Fairfield's mascot is?
The Stags?
The Stags.
Stags. They're not the Blue Hose.
Stags.
Who's the Blue Hose you mentioned last week?
Oh, Presbyterian?
Yeah, they're in this thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Hose is a nice one.
I know. No, it is.
How do you spell hose?
H-O-S-E, right?
Okay.
Better than the Red Hose.
There are red hoes?
I don't know. Well,
is there pale
I think
hose?
There's a red
yeah,
hose.
There are.
I think he's right. I think I won't say Craig Way has mentioned the red hose before.
How do you spell that hose?
I'm not
I think
sure.
It's the same way.
Or those hoes.
I think it's the same hose, like H-O-S-E.
Okay.
Hopefully.
We're hoping.
What is their mascot? Like, what is a blue hose? Like a fire hose?
I think it's
tool.
I want to say maybe like
high boots and
like
a tight
pantyhose.
Dress.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, it could be. I have no idea. Okay, I'm on it. I'm going down a rabbit hole.
They just have a student dress up as that? Or does a student get into, like, a stuffed mascot costume with high heels and a short skirt?
Blue hose mascot. Here it is, yeah. Oh, it's like...
And can a guy be that mascot?
Can a guy be
Scotty
that mascot?
Scotty the Scotsman is actually the blue hose.
Scotty the Scotsman?
Yeah, I guess what I'm...
Okay.
The Presbyterian right. Blue hose.
That's not the blue hose.
Yeah, but they say, no, it is. It's Presbyterian blue hose. The Big South Conference, and it said the PC Athletic Department feels blah, blah, blah. School colors are garnet and blue, and the mascot is Scotty the Scotsman, a medieval Scottish warrior. The team name comes from the socks worn by the football team. So, yeah, it's about socks. It's pantyhose.
So it is a like hoe and a kilt.
The hoes, like the pantyhose, hoes, like socks. Like
gotcha,
back in the day,
okay.
I guess you can call those hoes. See, boom, I'm still calling my socks hoes.
Do women wear pantyhose?
I was like, baby, go buy me some new hoes.
Give me some hoes. Really?
I need Nike hoes, too,
we just
baby.
Got married. Really? Already? I expected this after like 15, 20 years. Hey, do women wear pantyhose anymore? I feel like we see pantyhose a lot.
Question.
I don't see pantyhose anymore.
I think you're right
and
about
I'm
that.
Looking. So to answer your question, I am looking.
I think you don't see pantyhose as much. You see a lot of yoga pants. Like, a
lot of yoga pants, which I'm all down for.
Yeah, but not pantyhose. You're right.
Is that like a requirement to get into Presbyterian? You have to own a set of pantyhose?
Remember those shoulder pads? Remember, women used to wear shoulder pads back in the day. Mm. You don't see women with shoulder pads anymore.
No, you don't.
So maybe pantyhose were cyclical in fashion.
Like football shoulder pads?
No, they had like little, under a sports coat.
Yeah,
but not even a sports coat. It used to be like a dress.
Sometimes in blouses,
yeah.
They would have shoulder pads. We wanted big-shouldered women back in the day for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
that was a thing that made women hot.
Rod B, when
big
you go...
Big hair, big shoulder.
What are shoulders like?
When you go home tonight, please record yourself asking your wife if you can go to Target to buy some new hose.
Yes, no
great.
Doubt.
Please
yes.
Record that.
It's happening.
I want that audio for the show later.
I will get it done,
week.
Brother.
Unbelievable. So Texas baseball gets going this Friday. The Austin Regional, the Longhorns will take on Southern in the first game, and then Arizona State and Fairfield, the other two teams in the Austin Regional. Guys, any concern? I'm sure you guys last Friday talked about Texas's first two games in the Big 12 tournament in which they went 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
They won another game over the weekend, but then they lost to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament semifinals. Any concern, Rod B., with what you saw from Texas in Oklahoma City? Doesn't matter too much, right? They get the regular season title. They're still the number two national seed, and now this tournament is the one that really matters. But relatively lethargic performance from the Longhorns at Bricktown. Any concern going into the most important time of the year?
Was it 47 strikeouts?
Yeah.
Total?
Yeah.
Over the weekend, so? Yeah.
That's, four games. That's a lot.
In four games, that's a good amount. So that would be a little concerning, and the inability to, when they do face elite pitching or they start to struggle to be able to manufacture runs and to be able to, you know, to be able to advance runners in a money ball fashion, as Katie has mentioned, if they have to do that, those types of things. And then to steal those bases, to get those, you know, and the base running. Because the details, and we're being nitpicky, of course, we are being nitpicky right now because they're a number two overall seed. When you're talking about, you know, the flaws that Texas may have, because we've talked about what a balanced group they are, the identity, of course, is pitching, fielding. That's what they do really well. That's what they're elite at. But, man, the details could come back to haunt you. Just those small flaws could come back to haunt Texas. And if they don't figure out a way, they're not in a slump, but they don't figure out a way to be more prolific at the plate, then it could come back to haunt them. I mean, not in this regional, but in the super regionals, as KD's really predicted is going to be their downfall if it comes.
You nailed it. And so the base running stuff, we saw that early on in the tournament. That's been a problem all year long. Getting bunts down, that was a problem this tournament. When you have to get bunts down. And so there are going to be times when you have to do that. I'm not getting into a philosophical discussion on when to bunt or situationally bunt. I'm talking about there are times in college baseball when you have to bunt, you got to get the bunt down. And that does worry me. So kind of sloppy stuff with fundamentals. But the strikeouts kind of went back to very early on in the season when you do face elite pitching. And that's my biggest question about this offense. They've been pounding people. You look at their slugging percentage They run. They've got power. They do a lot of good things. When you face elite pitching, that can be minimized pretty quickly. And that's just the story of baseball at every level, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the Texas baseball season came full circle, and not in a good way, right? They opened up the year getting swept in Arlington by those three SEC teams, and they struck out, I think, 322 times.
That's exactly
in those three games. Uh-huh. Just a ridiculously high amount. And then in the Big 12 tournament, I know that's technically the postseason, but for me it's not. Like, I just consider the Big 12 tournament and conference tournaments in college baseball part of the regular season. So for me, like the full circle, the final tune-up games, if you will, for Texas look like the first three games that Texas played this year, where they were just striking out way too often. They were taking a lot of good pitches, and they were swinging at a lot of stuff in the dirt. And for a while, during the heart of conference play, we weren't seeing that. Like, the at-bats for this Texas lineup were so quality, and they weren't wasting pitches. They weren't wasting at-bats at all. And you kind of saw that a little bit this weekend. So hopefully not a big deal. Hopefully they can figure it out this weekend. You know, some of the teams, Arizona State's not a good pitching team. Southern's not a good pitching team. It is interesting. Fairfield has the best ERA in college baseball.
Yeah.
Texas is number two in that stat, and Texas has played much tougher competition than Fairfield. But you've got one really good hitting team and one really good pitching team. So Texas will be tested, I think, in multiple ways this weekend.
One guy that definitely has struggled the last month, maybe month and a half, is Ivan Melendez. Mm. And as it was easy to predict, you knew once he was on that tear that people were going to not pitch to him. And my biggest question was, how frustrated do you get? I was never in this position where you're red hot and
you're
you go,
that good.
You're that good. And you go, I'm starting to chase stuff because they won't give me anything.
Yeah.
And he does chase stuff. I mean, you knew the way to try and get him, especially with a right-hander or two-seamer, stuff inside to tie him up, and then breaking balls that are diving off the plate. He's definitely chased a lot of those breaking balls, diving off the plate. You get him back to kind of where he was, and this is a completely different offense. I've got three guys that are hitting over 300. They've got a pretty complete lineup for the most part. The best thing about this lineup is, even as Melendez is struggling, Mitchell hasn't been as good as he was. Rod, you go down the list, and we've talked about it, Eric Kennedy and Trey Faltini, they're swinging a better bat right now.
Yeah, you got some guys who are starting to trend in the right direction, hopefully at the right time. You're going to need clutch hitting. You did get some of that.
You did,
You know, in the Big 12 tournament when you needed it, because you actually, you know, weren't scoring enough runs. And, yeah, you got some clutch RBIs down the stretch when you needed them most. But I agree. I think the big concern is, can they score enough runs, most importantly, like you said, KD, against elite pitching, because that's what they're about to face more of. Not so much in the regionals, but in super regionals to advance, you're going to see it. You got to figure out a way to win those games. And this team can win in different ways. We have seen that. Mm-hmm. I will say, yep, they can win in a number of different ways, usually led, though, by them having a great night pitching, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah usually it's matched there. Thing that I've noticed with this team is, and like a lot of teams, this is not anything new with baseball, but some teams adjust to it better. High velo, even if you're not around the plate a lot, you get to mid-90s, and Florida has a guy coming out of the bullpen in the SEC who's has garbage numbers this year, but he was hitting 96, 97, and I thought,
with ease.
I thought that's the type of guy that's going to give us a lot of problems. High velo gives this team even more problems than it does a normal good-hitting team, which is what they are.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. Texas goes 2-2 in the Big 12 tournament, and once again, they are the number two overall national seed in the NCAA tournament. The Longhorns will open up the Austin Regional this Friday at 1 o'clock against Southern. We'll have that game for you right here on the Horn. Gentlemen, we'd be remiss if we didn't give some love to the Texas rowing team.
Yeah. Shout out.
How about a natty over the weekend for Texas rowing? The first title in school history. I think they deserve that.
Give it up.
We get some Cool and the Gang going, too, in the background. We're celebrating, baby. How about the third national title for Texas this year, guys? Men's swimming and diving captured one earlier this year. Women's tennis captured one earlier last month. I guess we're in a new month now. I can't say it.
We are.
This month.
Mm-hmm.
First time since the 89-90 academic year that the University of Texas has won three national championships. Not too shabby. We've talked a lot about Chris Del Conte and his impact on the entirety of the Texas athletic departments. He said he wanted all of his teams to be competing in the top 10 year in and year out. Texas has done that this year, KD, and now three national championships to serve as icing on the cake.
They have. I remember when the rowing program started here, and it was it was started because of Title IX. They were just looking. They had to have a certain number of women's
sports to equal.
And so they're like, what are we going to do? Yeah. And I remember my girl I was dating, her roommate, just for S&Gs, was not an athletic girl at all, said, I think I'm going to go try for the rowing team tomorrow morning. And did and made it. I just put my head down and I'm like, and we've got 11.7 scholarships for baseball. But that's 20 years ago. And think about kind of how far they've come. CDC knows he can say that because the reality is outside of football, men's basketball, and baseball, you should dominate. You have all the advantages.
You can money whip them.
You can money whip them, hire the best coaches. Sports,
yeah.
They went to Starkville. Yeah. And said, no, you're coming to Austin for women's basketball.
That's exactly right.
And he's coming. They can actually do that with baseball and even some degree men's basketball. Football is going to be its own thing.
They can't do it in men's basketball because
everyone's competing.
They can't do it in men's basketball unless the boosters want to do
Fair
it.
Point. Fair point.
Because, right? So what would you say to the Lance?
Which with the staff he hired, that's in the plans.
But you get my point, though?
Yeah,
because I agree.
Absolutely.
The landscape is in those sports, those Olympic sports, those non-revenue generating sports. Katie's so right. You can money whip the best coaches. You can money whip the best staff, the facilities. You got the money to do that. And a lot of teams don't even have those, a lot of those sports. So the teams you're competing against, that field shrinks as well. But, yeah, in football and men's college basketball, different landscapes, yes, you can money whip to a certain extent, but everybody's throwing money into those particular programs.
True.
And it's not always the money that's the separator,
yep.
As we have seen.
No
right?
doubt.
It's, that's not necessarily
not
the separator.
Not the money with the coaches is the separator.
Yeah. Hey, I don't, I'm just, hey.
Money can be a separator.
Yes, it can. If you're trying to, yes, within even, the NCAA rules.
And even in baseball, once when they get to that point, hopefully it's in 15 years after David Pierce wins 3 natties here, you can still money whip in baseball. You just got to bring the whip, which they didn't last time.
Mm. Good point.
Very true. So congrats to Coach Dave O'Neill and all the women of the Texas rowing team. Once again, the first title in school history.
Impressive.
For Longhorn rowing. They held off Stanford, Washington, and the Winklevoss twins to get it done.
Wow. That is a quality reference.
I mean, those are the
only. If you don't get it, then just go look it up.
Those are the only rowers that people know, and they're not even real rowers.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done.
Have you guys ever done that? I mean, obviously not at that level competitively.
But I've never did it on water. No way.
You want to talk about an easy way to vomit and also get in shape quickly? Like, that is a lot. That takes a lot more conditioning than I think people think.
Well, and organization.
That like, too. Teamwork,
it's not all just
that.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It's not just people just going, out and just rowing. Like, no, it's actually synchronized effort as to how they do it and all that kind of stuff.
It's incredible. I mean, when I kayak on Lake Austin,
I see
the Texas rowing team practice from time to time, and it's remarkable what they do.
Yeah.
And they're blowing by me with ease.
Yeah.
Blowing by you.
I'm like, after about like 20 strokes, I'm like resting a little bit, drinking some water, and they're just going for miles. It's unreal. They work hard. They deserve it. Congrats to Texas Rowing for a national title. 3 natties this year.
20 years, though. You go from the story I have to where it really is just kind of a, people are just trying out. And like, I'll get on there. Maybe I'll get a ride. To national champions. That shows you what you can do with the programs here.
Absolutely. Agreed. Specs text line 337-3776. If you want to chime in, it's the triple option with RBKD. The gang's all here. Alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I am BK Brad Kellner. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Tuesday afternoon with us. When we return, Quinn Ewers. God, he feels like Voldemort now. He had some comments about Texas over the weekend that ruffled the feathers of some Longhorn fans. We'll tell you what he said and explain why it makes sense up next. Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down?
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is the Bat Tuesday right here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Man, I was almost thinking it was a Monday. It had that kind of feel to it, but it's not Monday.
It's had a Monday feel.
It had a Monday feel, of course, because it's the start of the week. But we were off Monday to celebrate, actually, to acknowledge those who gave their life, the last full measure, so that we can all enjoy the freedoms that we do have. So hope everybody out there enjoyed their Memorial Day. All right, well, Longhorn fans are not going to enjoy this news. I make sure I give credit where credit is due because it comes from 24/7 Sports. So I don't know the context of this. I wish I had more of the context of the quote because I'm sure a lot of people are taking it out of context. But Quinn Ewers was quoted recently about why he chose Ohio State over staying home and going to Texas, or committing to Texas, I should say.
He hadn't chosen anything yet.
Officially. He's just committed. Right? Some verbal commitment. You got a wild there. Yes, things are still obviously things could change. I was just talking on Longhorn Blitz about Chris Sims's commitment, and Chris Sims was once committed to Tennessee. Everybody thought, oh, he's going to Tennessee, but Tim Brewster decided otherwise. And, of course, now we know he became a Texas Longhorn. So anything can change in the recruiting game. But here's the quote. It comes from 24/7. It says, five-star Ohio State quarterback commit Quinn Ewers on why he thinks Texas five-stars keep leaving the state. Said, quote, probably because a Texas team hasn't been in the running for a national championship in a little while. And I don't know about other guys, but like me, I just want to compete in the highest at the highest level. Obviously, one day they will be back there and it will be great. But right now, it's just I'm tired of seeing that happen. End quote. There you go.
Fair.
It is very fair. It's very reminiscent.
It's accurate.
It's accurate. I'm painfully accurate.
Yeah.
But it's reminiscent of the Garrett Wilson quote. Remember the Garrett Wilson quote, who also ended up going to Ohio State, and he'll end up being a first-round draft pick from all the mock drafts I say, unless he has a terrible year. But he said before he actually signed his letter of intent, but when he was verbally committed to Ohio State and asked why he chose Ohio State, and I know he has ties there because I think he was born in Ohio originally. Before they
he grew up in Columbus for most of his life.
Yeah,
a lot of his life.
Yeah, exactly. So I know that applies too. So it's not just straight apples and oranges, just kind of comparison. But when he was asked, he told Rivals, quote, Texas was close. They were close. I'm not going to lie. The official visit made me think about them a little more. In the end, I've watched a lot of people go to Texas with a ton of ability and maybe not achieve what I thought they could. I didn't want to be one of those guys, end quote. Now, he's talking about talent development specifically. Quinn Ewers is talking about more competing at a championship level year in and year out. But, BK, we've talked about this, and I've said it on the show. I know a lot of things have changed since I was a young man because I'm an old man now. I'm one of those guys. All right, I'm 40 plus, but I do believe in the recruiting game.
It sucks, dude.
It does suck. Trust me.
You'll
it
be might, there
your,
quickly.
Yeah, your body starts to turn on you unless you're Tom freaking Brady giving the middle finger to Father Time.
That's why you get those naps in.
Those naps will help. Naps will help. But the one thing I think that is still very, very similar in terms of the recruiting pitch for young recruits who want to play at the highest levels in college football, they all want to play in the NFL. So can you sell them on, oh, I can get you to the next level? They all want to play with other great players. They want to play with good players too. Because if you play with good players, that means you're going to be good and you're going to win a lot of games. And that's what you want to do. You want to win enough games so you can compete for championships.
Yeah.
Those things don't change. And Texas really hasn't been able to use two of those three things in their recruiting pitches at all. You can play with great players. You will play with great players here in Texas. The recruiting classes will say that. There's going to be great players there. But Texas can't really, you know, brag about developing talent and guaranteeing you a path to the next level. For those who don't know, I'll give you the stats. Last time Chris Hummer did it. Now, he hasn't included this draft, but he did include, this is from 2020, so it isn't the most recent 2021 draft. But when he looked at the blue-chipped draft success rate for Texas, like how many blue chips come in and actually get drafted, Texas is at 15%, which is actually the lowest number among the Power Five teams.
Not it's, good.
It's yeah, so only 15% of their blue chips are actually end up being drafted. That is not something Texas can sell right now. Can't sell championship contention because they're not in championship contention very much, but they can sell playing with great athletes. You go look at the blue chip ratio, how many blue chips are on your roster. Only Bama, Georgia, and Ohio State, and LSU, and Clemson maybe can say they have as many blue chip recruits as Texas. That's legit.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't add up. Something gets lost in translation.
Yeah, they're not winning games. Yeah. They're not competing for championships, and they're not developing guys into NFL talent.
It's as simple as that. And the truth hurts, guys. It's hard for me to get too mad at Quinn Ewers for what he said, because what he said is accurate. He's not taking any unfair shots at Texas. He's not swinging below the belt at Texas. He is speaking the truth. And as you mentioned, Rod, he's not the first guy we've heard say something along those lines. Guys, it's obvious. I mean, just look at social media posts. God bless you before you go online, by the way. Godspeed, you're going to need it. But when a kid receives an offer or commits anywhere on social media, which is where just about all of these kids commit in college sports right now, they usually accompany their post with some pictures of the team that offered them or where they're committing, right? And then for a lot of schools, it's recent players or recent moments. Guy commits to Alabama, hell, you've got your pick of the litter of who you could choose from. But you'll see Mac Jones or Tua or Najee Harris or Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle or somebody within the last few years. Someone commits to Clemson. You're probably going to get a picture of Dabo Sweeney or Trevor Lawrence or Travis Etienne or somebody like that.
Not Deshaun anymore?
Deshaun Watson, too.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah, maybe not anymore. Now people would question you if you threw in a picture of Deshaun Watson. Hey, what type of stuff is this guy into?
Seriously.
Off the field, okay? We got to let our trainers and support staff know what's going on right here. If someone's committing to Ohio State, Justin Fields, Dwayne Haskins, somebody like that. For Texas, still in the year of our Lord, 20 and 21, when someone commits to Texas, they put a picture of Vince Young in their tweets. Like, how much longer?
Or even worse, Rod Babers.
Vince Young.
That's really old.
Oh, man.
Oh, well,
I wasn't going to go there.
If you're doing that, that's just sad. I feel bad for you.
That is pretty
sad. But it's a good point, though, BK.
I'm telling you. I mean, like, how much longer can we hang on to that game? Like, the class of 2022, which is the current recruiting cycle we're in right now, those kids were born in 2003 and 2004. I know. Scary as hell. They were one or 2 years old the last time Texas won a national championship.
Mm.
And they were 5 or 6 years old the last time Texas played for a national championship in the 2009 season. How much longer can we hold on to that, KD?
Can I answer that for you? Because I grew up with this question.
Go ahead.
35, 36 years. When did 69, you can count the 70 championship, go till 2005?
Nice.
I mean, unfortunately, it can last, but your point is well taken and understood.
There were ups and downs in that stretch, though.
There were.
Fred Akers,
it wasn't dominant recruiting throughout that entire...
No, it wasn't.
Like, that's been the amazing thing, that Texas has still recruited as well as it has over the last
few years. Somebody should do an in-depth study about that, and I wish, like, Mike Roach would, because in terms of wins to recruiting rankings, there's no way anybody's been able to have the type of success Texas has in recruiting without actually having any wins to show for it. Yeah. Well, enough wins, I'm saying.
Mid-late 80s, even early 90s defensively, you looked at the talent and you go, I know why we're not winning national championships.
Good point.
I see our linebacking core, I see our offensive line, whatever that is.
Mm, it's true.
But yeah, in terms of five stars, I mean, Texas is repeatedly losing in-state kids to other schools.
Is that 2 out of 26? Or 2-4-26?
Yes, over the last
five
few years.
For 5 years in-state?
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, it's absolutely a problem. So hopefully Sark can change that narrative, but that's it. I mean, Quinn Ewers, once again, you can get mad at him all you want, and I'm not completely closing the book on Quinn Ewers.
I'm not either.
I'll put it at 10%. I'm not saying the ship has completely sailed, but the cast and crew are on board, and they're about ready to go. I think if Texas goes out and wins the Big 12 this year and Sark's offense puts up 40 points a game, then I do think Quinn Ewers is going to flip and come to Texas. But I think it's probably going to take something like that. But Sark is tasked with the same thing his two predecessors were tasked with, finding a way to change that narrative and find a way to dominate in-state, do well in recruiting, and find ways to develop that talent.
Here's the good news is that everything that Garrett Wilson – and specifically what Quinn Ewers is talking about is something that Sark can change that narrative and change it pretty quickly, because you're taking over a sales job and you've had this same account and you talk to the person, you know, on the other end, your client, and they said, look, the last two salespeople have really messed up and I've got issues. You go, well, you know what? I'm here because of that and I'm here to change that and I'm going to make your life a hell of a lot easier and I'm actually going to give you the type of service that you need. And so that's where Sark, getting to your point, BK, can change that quickly. Now, is it quick enough to where, like you're talking about, where you can do it in 1 year and Ewers feels like there's a flip? Maybe not. But what I'm hoping is for the Ewers out there that are sophomores and juniors, they will see after a year or two that the correct narrative that Quinn Ewers has can be flipped.
I once did the, and this is like from a couple of years ago, actually, the breakdown of Alabama's hit rate with just 5 stars.
Yeah.
And Texas hit rate with 5 stars. So if you go, if you're a 5-star player and you go to Alabama, you got a 48% chance, so basically a 50% chance to be drafted in the first round. You got a 61% chance of five, just you're a 5-star, yeah, which is, you know, like 35, 40 of those guys every year. You have a 61% chance to be drafted in the first or the second round. If you're a 5-star and you go to Texas, you have a 54% chance just to get drafted. Just to get drafted.
So it's close
anywhere
to Alabama's first round.
Exactly. So the sales
6% off.
So to me, the sales pitch is too easy for those out of state. I haven't done Ohio State's, but I'm sure it's way higher than Texas. So I haven't done that math, but I'm sure it's the sales pitch is way too easy. If you are a 5-star, you have a better chance of getting to the NFL, and you want to be a first round pick, which they all want to be, a first or second round pick, you got a better shot of doing that somewhere else. I hate to say that, but if I was advising a young man, I would have to give them the numbers. Yep. Like, yeah, man, you just got a better chance somewhere else. I do think the Quinn Ewers recruitment is, I think it's close to being done. You said like a 10% chance. I put it a little bit less than that. I would think like a 3 to 4% chance. I do think Sark believes he's got a chance to get Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a realistic shot. And Mike Roach said, no, it's open. It's pretty wide open right now. At one point, Eli did admit that before he committed to Ole Miss, Texas was in the lead.
I remember him looking at Texas.
Yeah, and he said he claims
it was
that
a year or two after Sims, I believe.
I think it was 99.
Was it 99?
I think it was 99 that he committed, and it was Cutcliffe because I think that was Mac's plan was I'm gonna give me a big time quarterback, a big name quarterback too. Cutcliffe ended up going to Ole Miss. That's what shifted the dynamic. Now he says that, but I think, you know, obviously he has a history there too and ties there. So it would be a Herculean task to try to get Arch Manning to deviate from the SEC and maybe from Ole Miss, but or even because now you got Lane Kiffin there too, so that's kind of sexy for your quarterback guru element. But from what I hear, Sark's got a real good shot to get to Manning.
Yeah, nice. Eli had an obvious in there with his dad. You know, the speed limit on the main driveway that's right outside the stadium is 18 miles per hour.
In Oxford?
Wow. In Oxford.
It's unbelievable.
It's
fantastic.
For old Arch.
I like that. We'll see what happens, but Quinn Ewers, in a recent conversation with 24/7 Sports, was asked about why he's committed to Ohio State and not Texas, even though he's from Texas. He said, quote, probably because a Texas team hasn't been in the running for a national championship in a little while, end quote. Harsh comments, but accurate comments from Quinn Ewers. We'll see if Sark can turn things around. Gentlemen, we are 95 days away from the starts of the 2021 Texas football season. We've got our countdown back here in 2021. Who are the best Longhorns to ever rock the number 95? And could the guy who dons 95 right now ultimately become the best 95 in school history? We debate. Next.
Nibbling on sponge cake. You know, I realize this. Anytime I'm at the beach, Jimmy is so much better near the beach. And now, I'm not a Chad Hastings or a Trey Elling. I heard them talking about Jimmy Buffett a couple weeks ago. And, of course, just tearing him to shreds and ripping him.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the lyrics and how cheesy it is. And I thought, well, it's not that bad. I think there's actually some pretty good stuff. But when you're, like, at a beach bar and any Jimmy comes on, especially this song or some of his real popular ones.
It fits.
It fits perfectly. And you think, this is why this was created.
Yeah.
Shout out to Wags, who's in South Padre.
Yeah, shout out.
Called me earlier this morning. Wags. He's like, where do I go here? It's raining. I'm like, I got some spots for you to go.
Dude, Wags.
Is he vacationing?
Yeah.
Oh,
with
nice.
Wifey.
Good.
Wags posted on social media that he was in Jamaica.
What?
So I asked him how Jamaica was, and he's like, it was a bit. I'm actually in South Padre.
That's the bit?
And I was like, what?
The bit is to say you're in a better place than you actually are?
Interesting.
I'm not sure it's a better. I mean, it depends on where you are in Jamaica.
That's true. Jamaica's got some rough areas.
Yeah, man.
I thought that was weird. I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. That's a bucket list thing for me to go to a Jimmy Buffett show. Maybe
bucket
take an
list.
RV out there.
Wow.
I'll do the MILFs and the GILFs. Come out in droves.
Got some hanging tattoos on some backlots.
Okay, I didn't know that. It's okay.
Clothes seem optional.
Yeah.
At a showers Jimmy Buffett seem concert. Optional. Showers are always optional.
True. The hippies love Jimmy? Is that what it is?
It's a little bit of that.
Okay.
You get an eclectic crew.
A lot of free-spirited
A lot of
yeah, free-spirited is a good way to put it.
Free-spirited women. I like them.
A lot of people who attend Jimmy Buffett shows are likely to attend Eeyore's birthday at Peace Park.
Yep.
I heard that thing used to be wild.
What, Eeyore's?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
I heard, yeah.
Did you ever go in college?
I never really went. Maybe I did. Maybe I was too high to remember. I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you got there, you would have been.
But I don't remember actually going to it, but I remember it being a thing, but yeah. I didn't go to it, yeah.
It wasn't bad back in the day.
Yeah.
You get a little time in, you're like, all right, that's enough.
I went a couple of times in college.
Did you?
Fun to people watch.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was on drugs there. I wasn't anywhere close to the most on drugs person there.
I've heard if you go there without being on some drugs, then you'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
It's pretty
then you'd actually feel like you're on drugs. It's a weird, psychological experience. Yeah.
You're hallucinating when you're not on drugs at that place.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
That's the contact high, I believe.
Yeah.
That should be back with the pandemic now, right?
Yeah. What? It didn't happen this year, though. It normally happens in April. And they shut it down this year.
Okay.
So, next year.
Technically, it's a pandemic still. Right? During that time, it is.
COVID's over.
I know it is. I'm just saying, during that time, it was.
And who'd you vote for? Those two things play into it.
I think it's over for both sides. It's winding down. Yeah, it's winding down now. Yeah, I think it is. I'm going to places now where people don't have masks on and... You know, it's understood. Like, no, I'm not wearing a mask. I didn't wear a mask up here. Nobody in the building has masks on anymore. They took the sign down.
They did?
Yeah, they took the sign. They had a sign up that said masks or whatever, and they took it down.
I wore it walking in. Actually, Lee saw me. She's like, what are you wearing the mask for? I go, I'm so over looks and just people.
Oh, you want to wear the mask now?
No, I don't want to. I just don't want to deal with anything. And so it's not that big of a deal to wear it for 20 seconds.
That's true.
If someone's flipping out.
Nobody's flipping out anymore.
No, I guess not.
No, you're done with it.
Well, we are winding down. We're not winding down too much, but we got the list started for days till Texas football. We got 95 days until Texas football. We missed 96, too, which would have been yesterday. So we'll give our best 95 and 96. BK, I'll start with you. I think 95, to be honest, you know, I like to go old school. I think it could be a very recent member.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you going with him?
I'm going to go with him.
Are we talking about the 2017 Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year?
I don't think it's
undrafted.
I don't think it's too much of a reach because of his reach.
Well done. Nice. I like that.
Dad joke for you.
No, that was pretty good. And you know what? I'm not totally going to disagree with you. I mean, I will say that Puna Ford, but he was so disrespected, right? He didn't even get invited to the combine, guys.
That's so stupid.
Not even a combine.
Dude, I got invited to the combine. Yeah. And it was as a media member, so a little bit different, but still.
Yeah, he just got so disrespected. So I agree with you. I think he holds a special place in Longhorn fans' heart because Longhorn fans watched him play and went, no, that dude's a hell of a player. That guy's going to play at the next level. It's an NFL player. Even if his dimensions and all that stuff was kind of weird and
that
unique.
That makes me like him more, though.
It did. It made him kind of an outlier. I will say this. He's kind of a bumblebee. You know, they say that, you know, you look at the really dimensions of a bumblebee and they really scientifically aren't supposed to be able to fly, being at fat and rotund with the wing size they have. But he said it's one of those things, kind of a modern marvel, if you will. And
bumblebees are the DC-10 of bugs.
Well, that's Puna Ford to me was a bumblebee.
Yeah.
He's not supposed to be able to do the things he does on a football field given his dimensions, but he excels still in spite of that.
We're out here calling bumblebees marvels.
What?
And they sting one time and they die.
I think all bees, right?
Like if Puna Ford made one tackle and then died on the field, that wouldn't be a marvel.
It's true.
That'd be terrible. Bees are overrated is my point here.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
That's my take.
Not the regular bee, like the big fat bees.
They still die when they sting, don't they?
I think normal bees do, honey bees.
Like you get one attack in your life.
Yeah, we've got Kelly outside. I can bring her in.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now.
She's an apiarist, right?
Pardon me?
Who?
I think she's a classy woman. So.
Apiarist is a person who works with bees, aren't
they? It is.
Okay, thank God.
Can I get the language of origin? No idea what you're talking about.
Whatever the really fat bee is. Whatever fat bee is.
Guys, can I make a proclamation?
Please.
On this day, June 1st, 20 and 21.
Go ahead.
I think the guy who currently dons the number 95 will be the best 95 in school history when it's all said and done.
Okay.
That's Alfred Collins.
All right.
We saw some great things from him as a freshman. The expectations for the young man are sky high.
Five-star
out of Bastrop. Look, Puna Ford was a great player here at Texas. Marcus Tubbs,
Marcus Tubbs, first round pick.
Rod B.
Yeah.
All Big 12 player in 03. He was a great player.
Came in as a tight end.
Oscar Giles wore the number 95.
Giles is a good player.
There's some good competition.
And Oscar Giles, honestly, should get more love because he came back twice as a coach. And his lineage, actually Puna Ford being a part of that, as a coach, man, he loaded up. That D-line was always productive. And the NFL, even though if they didn't draft him, they always came calling for an Oscar Giles D-lineman.
They did.
Another guy who's on this list who definitely wouldn't be the best 95 ever, but I always thought with potential and talent, he had some injuries, and he also was on a loaded defensive line. Aaron Lewis was a good player. Aaron Lewis had a lot of talent, guys.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't remember much of Aaron Lewis.
I liked Aaron Lewis.
Okay.
Glad you mentioned him. But yeah, I think when it's all said and done, Alfred Collins is going to be the best 95 in school history. He might only be here for 2 more years. Hell, I hope he's here for 2 years. If he is, that means he probably is the best 95 in Texas history.
So is he going to end up being the next first-round draft pick for Texas?
He could be.
He could be.
It could be. I mean, I'm saying, you look at the roster right now. You know, you don't draft running backs really high.
No.
We all know how talented Bijan is. He can be.
Doesn't matter.
He can win a damn Heisman and still not get drafted in the first round. It's just the way the running back position is trending. I think BK's right. If Alfred Collins does end up being the greatest 95 overall, he could end up being the next first-round draft pick for Texas. Mm-hmm.
He's a freak. I'm really curious to see how Kwiatkowski uses him. I mean, we saw the athleticism in the bowl game, dropping and making that play. We saw it kind of all year long. But with Kwiatkowski's specialized defense and also how varied it can be, how do you use a freak like that? How do you use his skill set to make sure that it's not only great for him and being a possible first-round pick, but great for the defense?
Yeah, I would, on a traditional front, I would move him around. Kwiatkowski doesn't really have a traditional front.
No.
So I just think utilizing a lot of twists and stunts and simulated pressure with a guy like him to try to confuse blocking schemes, because all he needs is a step. He's so quick and so powerful.
Yeah.
You got a position with him, you're done.
Yep.
And that's why I would try to just get offensive linemen out of position with Alfred Collins, and I would use a lot of twists and stunts, interior blitzes, simulated pressure to do it. And that's what Kwiatkowski's going to do anyway.
Yep.
Agreed. What about 96, guys? No current 96 on the Texas roster. Got Chris Akins.
Oh, Akins was a beast.
He's a good player.
Chris Whaley wore 96, had that big pick six against Oklahoma.
So much potential for Whaley. Came in as a running back, right?
I think so.
He did. Yeah,
He had a weird transition, yeah.
He was the Henry Melton, but after.
Oh, yeah.
And Whaley with the Bears.
Yeah.
Or Matthew Melton with it. Was Whaley
They both went to the league and had some, had some shots. A couple shots.
Melton was a Pro Bowler in the league.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And Akins, one of the first European Texas players.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
He's from Paris.
I didn't know that.
Paris, Texas?
But still.
Okay, see, this is what I said. That's why I was like, are you serious? I knew you were messing around. I was like, what guy's
BK
never heard
back,
that.
Like, I've seen him before. It didn't look very French to me.
And he was a serious power lifter. So needed, too, because you think about the Texas and the lack of defensive linemen they had early on in Makovic and that Gary Darnell system. You had Chris Akins and Stoney Clark, and God, did we need them. Akins was – I loved Chris Akins.
Derek Lokey as well.
Lokey was a good player.
Good player on the national title team.
Yeah, he was a good player.
In 05. So there you go. We'll take your thoughts. If we missed anybody, let us know. Specs text line 337-3776. We are 95 days away from Texas and Louisiana. Of course, we'll have that game. We'll have every Longhorn football game right here on the Horn. Speaking of Longhorn football, when we come back, the dead period is over. All hell is about to break loose on the recruiting trail. We'll talk about some of the guys making visits to Austin and some of the targets that Sark absolutely needs to land for the class of 2022. Up next.